Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to keep you up to date with all the news you should know about. Today, we're learning more about a crash that killed a Pennsylvania state trooper last week. And a former Bucknell University football coach faces hazing charges in the death of a player. It's Tuesday, July 7th. Let's get into it. We'll start with a different story from the holiday weekend before the update on that crash. In 1778, 360 lives were lost during the Battle and Massacre of Wyoming in northeast Pennsylvania. The violent moment in history is commemorated every year in Luzerne County. As WVIA's Kat Bolas reports, this year's service, held on the 4th of July, also focused on the country's 250th birthday.
Facing the Wyoming Monument, Dr. Christopher Pearl asked two questions.
Whose ground, whose independence? They are simple questions, but they lead us into a much deeper understanding of what happened here and what we mean when we commemorate independence.
Pearl is the chair of the history department at Lycoming College. He was this year's keynote speaker. During the conflict on July 3, 1778, British loyalists and indigenous warriors battled a Patriot militia. Descendants of those who fought in the battle, as well as other societies and organizations, laid floral tributes during Saturday's service.
American Legion, District 12.
On America's birthday, Pearl said the Declaration of Independence did not create the nation, but rather declared the Founding Fathers' aspirations and their political vision.
It unfolded as a series of choices, risks, and sacrifices made under extraordinary violence and conditions.
Pearl often mentioned the indigenous people who lived in the valley and how they fit into the history. He said, July 4th carries enormous weight in American life. The Wyoming Valley Band played patriotic music throughout the ceremony, which drew the largest crowd since the service began in 1878. In Wyoming, I'm Kat Bolas, WVIA News.
Thanks, Kat. Find the full story, including photos from the service, at WVIA.org. Now for that crash update. Revelations that the tractor-trailer driver accused of striking and killing a state trooper on Interstate 81 in northeast Pennsylvania was in the country illegally have put renewed focus on the requirements to obtain commercial driver's licenses. WVIA's Roger Dupuy explains.
Michael Bond, who faces charges in the death of Trooper Michael Pahira, was ordered to leave the U.S. in June 2025. That was 3 months after the Haitian national had applied for a commercial driver's license, or CDL, from Massachusetts. Massachusetts officials said Monday that Bond was listed as eligible to work in the U.S. at that time, according to a federal database maintained by the Trump administration. They also said Bond applied for a renewal prior to a federal rule that went into effect this March, directing states not to renew or issue new non-domiciled CDLs. Those are commercial licenses granted to people who are not permanent residents or citizens of the United States. Congressman Rob Bresnahan, a Republican from Luzerne County, says Bahira's death shows the need for Congress to pass a proposed law that would tighten how non-domiciled CDLs are issued.
It would ensure all commercial driver's licenses, CDLs, holders in the U.S. understand English, and it requires states to verify they are not issuing commercial driver's licenses to illegal immigrants.
Delilah's Law, as it has been called, was passed out of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure earlier this year. Bresnahan said it has yet to be taken up by the full chamber. He is hopeful it will advance.
Thousands of trucks are on our road every day, and the bare necessity absolutely needs to be that you can read road signage, you understand speed limits. Like, these are so imperative to each and every motorist on the road.
Roger Dupuy, WVIA News.
Thanks, Roger. Stay with us. There's more Up to Date after this break.
The work we do is only possible thanks to your support. I'm Lydia McFarlane, healthcare reporter for WVIA News. We're proud to bring you the best news and information out there. Go to wvia.org/news to see for yourself.
Welcome back. Now we go to Bucknell University. A former Bucknell football coach faces hazing charges following the death of a player. WVIA's Sarah Hofius Hall has more.
Prosecutors say that on Kelvin Dickey Jr.'s first day of football practice, a coach directed him to do extraneous training, even though his sickle cell trait put him at risk of death. Dickey passed out and died 2 days later, on July 12, 2024. On Monday, the Pennsylvania Office of Attorney General charged the then Bucknell coach with felony aggravated hazing and several misdemeanor counts. Mark Kalbus, the strength and conditioning coach at the time, was arraigned in Union County and released on $10,000 unsecured bail. Prosecutors say he subjected Dickey and other players to 100 up-downs and several full-body plank drills. The prosecutors call the training a hazing incident and that the coach knew about the risks to Dickey. In a statement Monday, Bucknell said the school has cooperated with the Attorney General's office throughout its investigation. I'm Sarah Hofius Hall, WVIA News.
Thanks, Sarah. One last thing for the day. Let's take a look back at This Week in History with WVIA's Julie Sidoni.
This Week in History, a brief look at some of the biggest happenings here at home and around the world, July 6th through the 12th. In 1902 this week, in Johnstown, 112 coal miners are killed in a gas explosion at Cambria Iron Company's Rolling Mill Mine. State records show it would be the first of four major mining accidents in the state within a few years. 1912, Jim Thorpe begins his quest for gold at the Stockholm Olympic Games this week. A Swedish king dubs him the greatest athlete in the world. 1976, the first women are admitted to the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, and into the United States Military Academy at West Point, New York. And in 2000, Venus Williams wins at Wimbledon for the first time. She's the first black female champ since Althea Gibson won in 1957 and 1958. That's This Week in History. I'm Julie Sidoni, WVIA News.
All right, I hope you're feeling up to date. Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for listening today. We're here every weekday, so make sure you subscribe and tune in so you don't miss anything. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.